Second John is our book of study today, and we're looking at verse 6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commandments, as you have heard from the beginning. This, his commandment, is that we walk in love. God's commandment is that we walk in love. We've been talking this love thing for a few weeks now, and we're talking this love thing because we're heading into the Easter season, and in the Easter season we talk about the love that Jesus has extended to us. But then, you know, brothers and sisters, there are persons who say to me when I am done with talking about what God said about love in our church, somebody might ask me, Pastor, when the Word of God says walk in love, how does that happen in a practical way in the body of Christ? Somebody wants to know, Pastor, how do I live out my Christian faith? How do I practically live out this love thing? How do I demonstrate my faith? You know, every time I do a seminar, people say to me, we would love some nuts and bolts. We want to know how to do this thing. Well, this morning, brothers and sisters, from the counsel of Almighty God, let's talk about love. Let's get practical. Anybody remember a song a few years ago that was done? For some strange reason, I thought it was someone else who did that song, and discovered to my surprise who actually did the song. Do you remember the song that says, let's get physical, physical? Anybody remember that? Yeah, back in the 80s when we were in high school, every time, you know, it was a time of funky and break dancing and all that. And every time, you know, there was Stacey Lattisaw and there were some other young people who were doing, you know, the kind of music that was happening at that time. Now, when I heard the song Let's Get Physical, I thought it was one of them kids from back in the 80s, only to realize, no, it's one of them mature persons who sing the song. Because at the moment I thought about this sermon, I thought about, let's get practical, practical, let's get practical. That's what I want to talk about this morning, getting practical about our Christian faith. Here is what Ephesians 5 and verse 2 says. It says to us, be imitators of God therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Live a life of love, says the Apostle Paul. James tells us that we need to understand that our faith, if it does not have works attached to it, it is dead. John says to us in 1 John 3 and verse 16 to 18 that God expressed his love. Jesus, while we were sinners, laid down his life for us so that we might have life. And then when we read Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 37 to 40, we hear Jesus saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and prophets hang on these two commandments. Romans chapter 13 and the verse 10 says, if you want to understand what Jesus meant when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, and this is the most important of the commandments, listen to what Romans 13 and verse 10 tells us. Love does no harm to its neighbor. No harm to its neighbor. So hear this now. God doesn't make it very complicated for us to understand. Hear this. Galatians says to us now that The entire law is summed up in this single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out, because you're going to be destroyed by each other. Then James says to us, I'm coming to, oh no. James says to us, if we really keep the law, royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, then you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. So somebody who is smart in here now is asking me, so pastor, who is my neighbor? Somebody made the mistake, McKay, of thinking that they could have trapped Jesus and to ask him when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. One bright aleck in the crowd said to him, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him a lengthy story about a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, got caught by robbers, was beaten, and you know the story. And Jesus said to him, who acted neighborly in that situation? He said, I suppose the man who helped. Because Jesus said it was a Samaritan. And he didn't want to talk about that. He said, you know. So here is what the word of God says to us, brothers and sisters. John says, dear children, let us not love in word or tongue, but let us love in action and truth. And Paul says in Romans 12, 9 to 10, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. This is what the word of God says. And people need nuts and bolts this morning. People need to hear what the word of God says. Here is what the word of God says, Janice, about the how. The word of God says that we in our daily lives, we get golden opportunities to demonstrate love. In our daily lives, there are opportunities and there are occasions for us to demonstrate love. Then the word of God says again that we have the ability to do so. Can I show you in quick form? Hear what John says. 1 John 1 and the verse 3. 1 John 1, verse 3 to 17. 17 to 18. Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. Here is what John says. He says, if anyone has material possession and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Hear me, brothers and sisters. Let me unpack this a little bit. John says that somebody is in need in the church. This is one example. And I am aware of it. Let me talk about that. You know, one of the things that excites me about when I preach or when you teach is that there is always somebody in the audience reminding you of the extreme. So if there's a brother in the church in need or a sister, somebody's saying, but pastor, what if you are not aware of it? Well, hear what the Bible says as an example. If there's a brother or a sister in the church who is in need, and you are aware of it. Everybody is aware? Yeah, we are aware. God said that if you are aware of it, brothers and sisters, when you read the text, are my Bible study students here? What else do you see in the text, brethren, my Bible study people? What do you see? You are aware of it. Awareness. What else do you see? Huh? You have what? Read it, man. If you are aware of it, and if you have the ability to address it. Sandra, you saw that? If you have the awareness, and you have the ability. McKay, it's not that you are aware and you are not able to. Listen to me. The word of God says we are aware of it, and we have the ability to help. says, if in that situation we act with indifference, if we are unmoved, when you read the King James Version, you know what the King James Version says? That we shut up our bowels of compassion. The text wants us to understand that we are aware of the need. We have the ability to help the need, but we close our hands and we do not take pity or sympathy. In the word of God, when Jesus saw people in need, he was moved. His bowels of compassion, because you see, they understand that when you are in sympathy for somebody, when a woman in this audience hears about another woman's son who has been shot and killed, my mama tells me that the first place that you feel the pain is right here as a woman. Your bowels move. When you have trouble in your life, this is where first start to move. Hear me. When somebody is in the body of Christ and is in need, and you are aware and you have the ability, and we act with indifference, God says that is wrong, because that was a good opportunity for you to demonstrate love. Pastor Howe, give me some nuts and bolts, because I want to know how. Because last time when you preached and you left us here, I was wondering how I could do this, how this could be done. In the Old Testament, this is what God said in the book of Leviticus. God said that, listen to me, Leviticus 25, if you need the context and the passage, God said to his people that if one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident. You know what the smart aleck in Israel used to do? They know that the year of Jubilee was coming up, and they know that if they lend anybody anything the year before, when the year of Jubilee comes, they can't take it back. And some people were hard-hearted during the year before the year of Jubilee, because they know that the law says they mustn't ask you back for it. When you read in Deuteronomy, God said, Deuteronomy 15, God said, you see, if it is just before the year of Jubilee, you must not harden your heart or tighten your fist. You must not harbor those wicked thoughts in your mind, but you must give generously and not grudgingly, because it is the year before the year of Jubilee. Opportunities to give, occasions to give. There were the poor in the land. There were the widows in the land. There were the fatherless in the land. There were the orphans in the land. There were the strangers and sojourners that were in the land. Some people in Israel were concerned, because when they came into the promised land, everybody got their own vine and fig tree. And there were people who lost it for some reason or the other, squandered it. And there were those who felt that if they had paid attention, this would not happen to them. Hear me, Church of the Living God. You and I can talk about people's circumstances all we want to talk about them. But the Word of God says, if we know that there is need, genuine need. Some of us think that the Word of God, you're going to tell me, Pastor, I can just hear some people in your seat right now. Pastor, what about those? And what about those? Stop your what about. Hear me. In the early church, God allowed them to set up systems in the early church to identify who was a genuine widow, who was genuinely in need. God allows us to be wise and have wisdom to know those who support. But God does not want us to shut up our bowels of compassion. We want to demonstrate love. Let's get practical about it, brothers and sisters. So Jesus now went to this home. He was invited to a home of a well-to-do person. And as he went to the home of this well-to-do person, Luke chapter 7, 46 to 47, he's in the home of a well-to-do person. And while he was there, invited there, the hospitality was very poor. Have you ever been to homes where the hospitality is poor? He did not do anything special for Jesus. He never put oil on his head. He never washed his feet. These are common courtesies that were extended to people who were in your home. And Jesus said, none of these courtesies were extended to him. But he said that there was a woman who people think was of ill character. He said that she poured oil on his head. She poured perfume on his feet. And he said to the man of the house, listen to me. I've been with you. I'm your guest and you did none of that for me. But this woman did it for me. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she loved much. Oh my God. When I read this text and I heard what God wanted me to hear, that this woman loved much. She demonstrated her love. But she has been forgiven for much, therefore she loves much. But he who has been forgiven for little loves little. Can I just pause to let you hear what God says in that? God says that he notices that people who have been forgiven for much, they love much. But people who have been forgiven for little, they love little. What Jesus wanted his host to understand is that the appreciation level of this woman was high because she was forgiven for a lot of things, and therefore she was always seeking for an opportunity to give God praise and give him glory because she knew where she was coming from and what God had done for us. She loved much, but he who has been forgiven for little loves little. The woman was demonstrating her love. You know, I watch some people in the church and I can see their generosity. I can see their hospitality. I can see that they love Jesus from the bottom of their heart and they want to demonstrate it. They want to show that they love Jesus, and whatever they have to do for Jesus, they're going to do it because nothing is going to stop them and no little person is going to prevent them from getting to heaven, and they're going to push past everything they've got to push past. I meet people who, even if they have to say sorry for something they did not do, they're going to do it. They love him much. There's somebody who said, I love him too much to fail him now. I love him too much to ever break my vow. I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow, even on broken pieces. I love him too much. Too much to fail him. To fail him. You know what he says in Romans? God says in Romans, he said, if we are inconsiderate to one another, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ has died. Do not allow what you consider to be good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved of men. Scripture, Romans 14, 15 to 18. Hear me, brothers and sisters. You and I have got to understand that we live in a diverse society and we are part of a diverse church. And when you and I are not kind and considerate to people, even in our workplaces, we're not kind and considerate to those around us in our homes, on the job, in our church. When we're not kind and considerate to other people, the Word of God says, even when we think that what we're doing is not wrong, but when other people are hurting, because love does not hurt its neighbor, we pay attention to it. I believe that many of our marriages could have been stronger if we realized that sometimes we need to sacrifice. I believe that many of our families would have been better. Young people, forgive Pastor Vernon for saying this, but some of you young people need to understand that you need to sacrifice too. We've done so much for you and sacrificed so much for you. It doesn't take anything off of you for a little sacrifice sometimes. It doesn't. And husbands, it doesn't take anything off of you to make a little sacrifice to make your marriage work. I did say we're going to get practical. There's some of us who we say this is what we like and this is what we want. And this is what I appreciate and this is what I like. Listen to me. Sometimes we have to make sacrifice for the other person. Yes, I know this is the kind of food you like and this is the kind of this you like. But there are times, man, when we've got to make sacrifices because we are in a marriage and there's another human being in the marriage, and it is not just all about you. If there's another human being inside your home, the sacrifice is sometimes required in church, brothers and sisters. Sometimes the sacrifice is needed. Sometimes we have to make a sacrifice for somebody. Sometimes we have to do some things. We have to sacrifice and meet one another halfway. But a lot of times we think that it's all about us. But the Word of God said, when we are inconsiderate, we are not acting in love. When we do not care about others, we are not acting in love. Sometimes we take others for granted. Even in our marriages, we take one another for granted. Do you realize that sometimes familiarity breeds contempt? We take others for granted sometimes, and we do not act considerately. Wives, I'm telling you, they say a happy wife, a happy life. But can I tell you, somebody tell me that anyhow you kill the king. If you kill the king, the queen is dead. Any woman who disrespects her husband and think that it is going to go over well, you make a sad mistake. You have punctured a hole in your marriage. When our kids, when our young people disrespect their parents and grandparents and think that it is the cool thing to do, because this is how you see the kids on television behave and this is how the kids at school behave, can I tell you that obedience to parents comes with a promise to it? And the converse is also true. I'm trying to touch everybody today, because we have some selfish, self-centered, narcissistic demons in church. Self-centered, narcissistic demons who come through our church doors. The spirit of narcissism, the spirit of self-centeredness, that has nothing to do in the body of Christ. This is church. West Toronto Church is 50 years old now. A 50-year-old is a mature church, is a mature congregation. Selfishness has got to go through the door. Self-centeredness must go. And if you're here for 50 years and you're still narcissistic and you're still self-centered, listen to me. We have a pool up there. The water is ice cold right now. I will go back with you. But it got to stop. It got to stop. It got to stop. It got to stop. Yeah, let's get physical. Brothers and sisters, self-sacrifice is needed. You know, in Ephesians 5, we're told that self-sacrifice is needed in the body of Christ. We're told that selfishness doesn't have a place. Sympathy is needed. Service is needed. Generosity is needed. Hospitality is needed. Hear me, hear me. You know what the Word of God says? James says that if you see somebody in need, somebody who is hungry and somebody is cold, they don't have any clothes, and you say to them, "Go, my brother, God bless you, be warm and be fed," and that person to you, brothers and sisters, and has given you a golden opportunity to bless, a golden opportunity to pour into somebody's life. Can I talk to the church of the living God today? Sometimes the seed you plant today, it does not germinate at the very same time. I was in Jamaica, and a young lady who has a story to tell about what God has done said to me, "Paul," she said, "Pastor Vernon, do you remember when you baptized me and when you placed in my hand a book called The Purpose Driven Life?" And she lifted up her hand and said, "Thank you, Jesus, Pastor. You don't understand what that did for me." Until now, I'm trying to remember when I baptized her. Driven book. You don't understand what it did. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, when you do something in somebody's life or for somebody, you don't know, you plant a seed. You might not remember, but the Word of God says that when we are kind and considerate, and when we are compassionate, and when we are selfless, it will only do good to the body of Christ. Let me talk to you about hospitality. You know, God, when I was asking God to bless me with a house, you know, one thing that I had told God, that God, anybody who need help can come here. And I had said to God that, "God, you bless me with a house, it shall be a house of prayer." And God did bless me with a house. And guess what? Marvia, sometimes I'm asking him, "God, when are the people going to stop coming?" I just want to know. I want to know when they're going to stop coming. Because I did say that, "God, you know, it would be a house of blessing." The number of persons who have passed through our house, en route to their house, en route to their landing in Canada, en route to their place, en route to their space, and stuff like that. People who have passed through. And I'm asking God, "God, when is it going to stop?" Is when. Some of you tell God, "When you bless me with a car, I'm going to pick up people for church." We're still waiting for you to pick up somebody. Still waiting. You to pick up somebody. With all the excuse that it is winter and they're going to bring a lot of things. Well, spring and summer is coming. I just blessed a key a while ago. Let us see if that car going to pick up anybody. For church. Self-sacrifice, brothers and sisters. Selfishness must be through the window. Sympathy, service. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Let me rush on. Do you know why God has blessed you with money? It was one of the brothers at the Old Harbor Church shelter and moat. I can call his name. It doesn't matter if it is on the internet. I can call his name because that man sat me down and said to me, Pastor, on a Sunday when I come inside here, you preach and you bless my soul and you give me nuggets to go throughout the week. God has blessed me with money, Pastor, and your gift is to preach. My gift is to be generous. And don't stop me from being generous. When God bless you with money, I sat with somebody the other day and I looked her in the eye and I said to her, my wife was there, I said, are you blessed? And she's looking around. I said, are you blessed? And she's thinking whether she's blessed or not. I said, I don't ask you if you have money in your bank. I don't ask you if you have money in your pocket. I'm asking you if you're blessed. Well, let me tell you, look at me. You look at me good. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I am so blessed, brothers and sisters. I wake up in the morning, and when I clasp my hands to go to bed, I say, thank you for blessing me. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I come from a little church. A little church out in the country. I don't know. By now, the Bauxite Company has mined out that area. And I don't even know, McKay, how many people still live in that community. But I came out of that community. And everywhere I go in the world, I'm running into people who tell me I baptized them. I'm running into people who are telling me what I did for them and how God used me in their lives, and you're looking at me and become not blessed. Jesus, I am blessed from the crown of my head to the very sole of my feet. Hear me, I am blessed. Blessed beyond measure. God give you blessing so that you can bless others. Every time I go through my struggles and my stress and stuff like that, I remind myself that I am blessed, man. I am blessed. It was when I was a kid, the man told me that I was going to preach the gospel. When I was a little boy, the man told me that I was going to anoint you to preach. And I saw myself preaching to crowds of people. I woke up at night and I perspire because I preach. So despite all the stress and all the troubles that the enemy would bring upon me, I am blessed, highly favored. I don't need to announce it. I just need to walk in my blessing. I just need to walk proud. I just need to walk with my shoulders high. I just need to know that I'm blessed and live in my blessing and walk like a blessed person. I see somebody in the audience, and I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm sorry for that person. I won't call your name, so just hold your head straight and behave like it's not you. So I came to this country 2010, and we came with our suitcases, and the week before I got to this country, I had Raymond Foster at Praise Cathedral looking for a house for us. And I got a call from Canada, from somebody who the last time I saw them, they were in Jamaica. So I don't understand how they're calling me from Canada. And said to me, Pastor Vernon, you told me that you're looking a house in Canada. I never remember. Pastor, I'm going to be home in Jamaica for a year. And my house lock up in Canada. And the car lock up in Canada. Pastor Vernon, stop the search. Call off the search, Pastor Vernon. Just call off the search. Hear me, brothers and sisters. I call Raymond and say, no bother look no house, Raymond. Don't bother look no house. Don't bother look no house. Because I'm coming in. When Bishop Vassar said, Wayne, what you coming into? I said, nothing. He said, boy, trust me, if I had the faith that you had. But I know God told me that I must do the thing, man. God said to me, go. Listen to me. We lived in that house for a year, if I'm wrong, a year, maybe 2 years. And I may get to a nice Honda Odyssey if it just press. place. Go all over the place. I may drive up and down. I may do God work and thing and thing and thing. I may just bless. I may say, Lord, what is this? And hear me. She would have to tell you why she did what she did. Hear me, brothers and sisters. God just opened door and blessed like he has never blessed before. And I could tell you a lot of stories, but the our time is going, so I'm not going to tell you any more of the story. When God bless you with money, when God bless you with material position, let me say this, man. Sometimes God give us a seed to plant in the ground, and we eat the seed. We eat it. Eat the stupid thing. And don't understand that we should have dig a hole, put the thing in there, and water the thing. You know, put that in somebody's life. Put it in somebody's life, man. And make God bless you, man. Let God increase it for you. When God bless you in money and material possession, he bless you to give it to others. Hear this. When God bless you with time, when God bless you with gifts, when God bless you with talents, when God blesses you with abilities, God has blessed you to be able to demonstrate your love for other people. I thank God that God gave me another human being in my life to demonstrate my love. And can I tell you, demonstrating my love for her requires a lot. A lot. I thought the married men would have agreed with me. But some of you know that it is better not to say anything. Dennis, I hear you. Thank you for that one. Preach with me, Dennis. Preach with me. Thank you. Thank you for being honest, Dennis. Hear me. Demonstrating my love to my, being practical in my love to her has required a lot out of me. Because loving yourself first is important. And if you don't understand it and you don't get it right, it is difficult. And for her to demonstrate her love to me has been difficult. Hey, to demonstrate love to children requires, Lord Jesus. Is it all right for me not to go any further? Can I just leave it there and leave the rest to your imagination? Demonstrating love to your children requires a double anointing. But the word of God says, when we put love in action, it shows in generosity. It shows in our sacrificial lifestyle. It shows in us demonstrating our initiative. It shows in us avoiding prejudice and discrimination. It shows in our acceptance of others, listening to others, helping others, serving others. Avoid being judgmental and nasty in our comments. Protecting our neighbor, not biting one another, not devouring one another, not showing favoritism. These are the negatives. God wants us to avoid those, and he wants us, brothers and sisters, to accompany our Christian faith with practical lifestyle. I say this to you, and then I'm going to close. The word of God says that when we demonstrate love, it increases our credibility. If you want to increase your integrity, to demonstrate your integrity and increase your credibility among the brothers and sisters, you don't have to open your mouth and talk and tell people, you see, I'm a person like this, you see, Lord Jesus. Every time me hear that, me say, what this person coming with now? Is which self-praise this person coming with now? if we want to register our credibility, just demonstrate love, and let people talk about it. People will talk about it for you. You don't have to talk about it for yourself. People will say that Brother John and Brother Tom and Sister Mary, these are credible people. These are people of integrity. So hear what God says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. As we head to the Easter season and switch gears and talk about the love of Jesus Christ, how he demonstrated for us. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a sounding gong. A Pentecostal that, and have all knowledge, word of knowledge, are we that again? And if I have faith that can move mountains, do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, a martyr, but have no love, I gain nothing. 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 Ah, brothers and sisters. Ah. Ah, my brothers and sisters. I am nothing. I gain nothing. 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 The servant who knows his master's will and does not do it, he shall be beaten with many stripes. This is what the word of God says. We who have been called by God, let us demonstrate our love for Jesus as we demonstrate our love for one another. Can we, brothers and sisters, in our daily lives, God is not asking us to go out of our way. He's not asking us to go to some faraway land. He's asking us to do it right here. In our daily activities, as you leave church today, what are the opportunities that you're going to get to demonstrate your love for Jesus? Here is your opportunity. Stand with me, please. The song says, love, wonderful love.